This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
That's right, it's Friday. You're on Community Radio 3CR with me and Jake on a Friday Rave. Jake's just getting organised. And I must... People. Oh, hang on, you're not even on. There we go, now your mic's on.
Hello, people.
And I must say, James on In Your Face has an impeccable ability to pick the perfect song that just finishes to the second on 5 o'clock.
He's
every
good,
time.
Isn't
he? Oh, it's amazing.
He's good.
So, as always, thanks to James on In Your Face. And you're tuned to Community Radio 3CR. You might be at 855 kilohertz on your AM dial or 3CR digital or via the website at 3cr.org.au.
However you're listening, I hope you're having a good day and staying warm.
Yeah, exactly. And also, thank you to everyone who has chipped in a little bit of coin to keep a Friday Rave on air for another year during Radiothon. So we made our target for the show, which is very exciting. But the station still needs more to keep on air for another year. So we're all...
And to buy more toilet paper, which is why I'm late. I was just in a toilet without toilet paper.
Well, so if you want to keep Radical Radio on air for another year and the boxes of toilet paper flowing, then, yeah, please, you can still call the station on 94198377, or you can jump online at 3cr.org.au/donate to donate to your favourite program or to the station as a whole. But, yeah, make sure tell your friends, tell your family, and even, you know, talk to your rich neighbours if you got them.
Absolutely. Even, you know, when you're sitting there all on your own, talk to yourself. Convince yourself to sign up for 3CR. Because I know you're listening, and a lot of people, you know, like, you don't always think to take that extra step and sign up and subscribe. So talk yourself into it. You know you want to.
Yeah, exactly. So I reckon we're still going. June's not over. There's still time. If you've pledged, make sure to follow through with the pledges. You can call the station. But, yeah, thank you to everyone who has donated to a Friday Rave to keep us on air for another year. And so you can keep hearing us rabbing on about whatever.
Whatever happens this week. And I tell you what a week. I don't even know where to start, mate.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. It's like when all the bombing was happening, Tel Aviv, Iran, early in the week, last weekend, since we were last on the show, I thought, oh, geez, we need to get ready and talk about that. But now it's like 3 days ago, 5 days ago, yeah. And we don't like...
And we haven't even spoken about it. Now, I did say something on that, and I need to kind of confirm this, but the US bombing Iran,
mm-hmm.
And Trump was likening it, has been celebrated by NATO, this, you know, this peacekeeping bombing mission, but likening it to as important as mm-hmm. Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, he's a...
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm still getting blowback because of the comments I made before the election that, you know, Trump might actually change things, expose things, and people are still giving me shit about that. But I'm just saying, I think it's right. I think what I said is right. He's exposing what's going on. Now, that's going to be very painful, but he's just a total, he's just been a total dick, to be honest, isn't he?
You've got ICE, masked people going in unmarked and like others, you know, that there's potentially militias, you know, private militias that are also doing this kidnapping of people in the US and there's photos come out, I think it's in Minnesota,
yeah.
of an ICE raid, but the people that the masked, you know, people that are going in and kidnapping these people from their work sites have these little, you know, how often they'll have little Velcro patches on to say what thing they are or don't have the words, but these ones say the others. So they've got the thin blue line patch, which I'm sure many listeners are aware of what that represents.
Yeah.
And
represents the thick blue line.
And the others. And so I'm just having a look now that, yeah, Trump has compared the strikes on Iran to the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that he claimed ended World War II.
Big, spectacular bombs.
Yeah.
Haven't seen bombs like it before. But what's coming out of it? I mean, like, the world is seeing he's a total dick. Everyone knows that you can no longer trust America. But what is it? I mean, are they moving even further to the right? You look at, you know, I want to point out, actually, this week is the 80th anniversary of the signing of the United Nations Charter on Human Rights.
Mm.
The United Nations Charter was 80 years ago, yesterday or today? What's the date today? Yesterday. So, which, you know, is explicitly aimed to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war. That's what it was there for. But 80 years later, we've got more war than we've had since the end of World War II.
There's genocides, there's military occupations here and elsewhere, there's, you know, the crushing of uprisings
like
in Kanaki. There's
Kanaki. We haven't even had a chance to talk about it.
Yeah. There's what's happening in Kashmir.
Yep.
It's
all over the world. And as much as Trump is a poster boy for the left and the right, one to praise him and the other to castigate him, it's politicians right across Europe, right across the United States, that are feeding him, jumping to his demands in some ways, but then condemning him in other ways and going further than he would go. I just can't work out, like, where we are on the timeline of global politics, mate.
And those of us who know can see that this is what fascism is in the, you know, that it's here. It's not like, oh, what would we do if it were to happen? It's like, that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
And just the dissonance or not being able to broadly recognise and just call it for what it is.
For what it is, fascism. And call what's happening in Israel and Syria and Lebanon and Yemen and Somalia war crimes.
Yeah, and Palestine, yeah.
And Palestine, absolutely. And Palestine, just as I am. What's the word? Oh, by the way, Palestine. And the Australian government. The Australian government is not doing a damn thing.
No.
So nothing. When are we going to tell them?
Well, we're going to tell them in just under a month's time. On the 20th and to the 22nd of July, there's going to be a national convergence to Canberra. So, and that's the opening of the 48th Parliament, so the first sitting of the new Parliament. And so there'll be a rally on the Sunday. There'll be a campaign planning day and day for self-organised actions on the Monday. And then on Tuesday, which is the opening of Parliament, there'll be a mass rally at the front of Parliament, making as much noise in a united demand for sanctions.
And this is the Albanese re-elected government, and as we say, as we've said before, he's been elected with the kind of majority that's going to give him at least two or three more elections.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, people. But I'm just doing a little bit of calculation here. On the 22nd of July, we would have had 665 days of genocide. All of it, Albanese has been in power in Australia for. This is not something he's inherited. this is something he has made the decision to stand all the way with the United States on.
All the way with the USA.
All the way with the USA. Reminds you of a kid, Harold Holt said, all the way with LBJ. Look where that got us. And over the last 19 months, 20 months, every time we try to approach the ALP, and whether we're talking about branches or politicians, parliamentarians, whatever, what we kept getting was, yeah, you can't say too much, otherwise you'll end up with Dutton.
Yeah.
And Dutton was the stick they were scaring us with. Leave us alone, don't hassle us too much about it, or you're going to end up with Dutton, and how bad will that bloody be?
That'll be really bad.
It's going to be really bad.
Which, of course, it would be. But
of course it would. But they've no longer got that excuse.
Yeah.
That was their only excuse for ignoring their obligations under international law, ignoring the charter of their own political party, ignoring the wishes and aspirations of the Australian people. That was their only excuse. If we don't do this, you'll end up with Peter Dutton.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go – so that's why on the 20th to the 22nd of July, we're going to go
– to Canberra.
Yep, everyone – tell everyone, organise your transport, get up there. We need to, you know, make as much noise as possible. I'm just going to play a quick cut so you can hear why you should get there.
Absolutely.
Comrades, friends, siblings all over this continent, I urge every one of you to join us in Canberra. I refuse to be silent while Gaza is being annihilated. History will judge us all. No one will be able to say they didn't know, that they didn't see, that they didn't hear. The screams and pain are reaching every one of us from the screens we hold in our hands. Now is the time to act. July 20. I urge, I beg each and every one of you, each person of good conscience, to stand with us in Canberra. Together we can send this simple, clear message. The Albanese government must sanction Israel now. When governments fail, responsibility falls upon the citizenry to act. If we don't stand up now, then when? Join us in Canberra, July 20. It's time for the Albanese government to sanction Israel.
People tasted freedom, soon those hellish skies turn to blue and starry nights. As our voices start to rise, we're ending an apartheid.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Get organised, tell your friends, tell your neighbours, tell your family. Get organised and get to Canberra.
Do it. You got to do it. And that, for those who didn't recognise the voice, that was Nasser Mashni from APAN, the Australian Palestine Advocacy Network. And Nasser also, of course, does Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning, so tomorrow morning at 9:30. So tune in tomorrow morning. Well, actually, don't just tune in at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Tune in at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning because I'm going to be on Asia Pacific Currents.
Oh, all yeah. right. There you go. Tune in at 9 o'clock.
I
didn't
to tell
then.
You that, did I? Yeah.
Oh,
so
excellent.
For when half an hour of Jacob is barely enough, which is not usually the case.
I don't know. So make sure get to Canberra. But, of course, there are still plenty of things happening across the country and this is communities coming together to try and force, you know, the government to end its complicities and companies to end its complicity. Last night, of course, the Free Palestine Coalition, NAM, held a rally out front of the Future Fund. And so the Albert Out of Victoria campaign have this is coming off the back. This is the last day of the week of action. There's one happening right now down in Geelong, out front of Morand.
Oh, really? Good.
Down there. Yep. And so the Albert Out campaign, Albert Out of NAM and Albert Out of Victoria campaign have just released a preliminary release of a public analysis report about the Future Fund, which is Australia's sovereign defence... not sovereign defence fund. I say that word too many times. Yeah, investment fund.
You were talking about Morand, owned by ASDAM.
Yeah, that's right. And so the quote-unquote Australian sovereign investment fund.
Right.
Sorry. And so report, this preliminary report that tells you about the Future Fund and about how they currently hold $2.687 million in Albert shares.
Wow.
As part of that, and that makes up a part of the $600 million that is invested out of that investment fund directly to defense companies like General Dynamics, like Raytheon. Oh, sorry, it's what is it now? RTX?
RX.
RX. Lockheed Martin, BAE Systems. And so to access that report, you can go to freepalestinecoalitionnam.com, and up the top is a resources tab, and it's under reports and publications. So a definite, and it will be up there soon. So if you can't get your hands on a paper copy, the report will be up there soon. But on Monday night, the campaign had a... Instagram live discussion about the Future Fund at the start of the Week of Action.
Now, it's important to just mention the Future Fund for a minute.
Yeah, please.
Like, apart from all the weapons and everything and all the nastiness the Future Fund is invested in, the whole reason for the Future Fund was set up, I think it was the Howard government.
Yeah,
2006. To put some money aside to make some profit so that Australia... can be inured and protected against the vagaries of international capital, and we can earn some money to make sure that we can continue living a relatively good lifestyle. The whole idea of the Future Fund is to provide for our future. It's the country's, I think it was put at the time by, what was his name, Tim Costello, no, his brother Pete Costello, that it was like a superannuation thing for the country. This is what it is. So just when you think of Future Fund, think this is what they think is a good thing to protect our futures with.
Yeah, and as part of that and a part of this report, you know, as and that $2.687 million that is invested in Albert Systems, which is a company listeners will be aware of, has increased since October 2023 has increased by 449.9%, and so that is a combination. What we can assume, even though, of course, like everything with the Australian government, there's a really lack of transparency.
Jesus. And 450%.
Yeah. So it was. It used to be around 440 million. It's in the table here. I've got it in front of me. That's why I'm kind of looking at it. It was the initial investment in 2023. Which slid in there without any announcement, was just over 488,000. And so there's a 449.9% increase, which is market value. So there is a part of that 449% increase that would be Albert, the increase in the Albert share price. And that would be, you know, let's... remember that this is off the back of selling weapons that are being used against Palestinians in an ongoing genocide.
Yeah.
But also that, you know, that larger jump is incongruous with the jump in the share price of Albert itself. So it suggests, even though there's no transparency around that, but there has been an increase in the share in...
So they've actually bought more shares.
They've bought more shares, that's what I'm trying to say.
Because when you talk about...
It would suggest,
when you talk about a 450% increase, and you said we started from about 440 million.
480,000.
440,000. Just a quick, using the calculator on my phone, that tells me it's about $2,000, 2 million now.
Just over 2 million. And so.
Imagine if your bank gave you that return.
Oh. It'd be great. What sort of future is that? But it was suggested. So the Future Fund is the board of the Future Fund is called the Board of Guardians. And we just did a quick bit, you know, on the Instagram Live that Free Palestine Coalition NAM and the campaign ran on Monday night. They were just like, oh, you know, encouraging people to jump on and have a look who the Board of Guardians were. And so just quickly, we have done that. He's the chair. Greg Combe. Was elected in 2024 as the chair of the Board of Guardians for the Future Fund. And just a quick history about Combe.
A lot of listeners, a lot of older listeners might remember him as working with the MUA against a Patrick's dispute the tail end of the 20th century.
Right, okay.
And he was a bit of a hero then.
Mm-hmm.
And what a disappointment he turned into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, much like much of the ALP.
I was never appointed to be disappointed.
Well, yeah, that's true. So as in December 2007... Greg Combey was appointed the Parliamentary Secretary for Defence Procurement under the first Rudd government. And so he was in that role until 2013, just before Gillard got ousted. And so there was a few roles that he was in that, including climate change roles, defence and industry portfolios. I think he was the Minister for Defence, Science and Materials.
Defence, Material and Science,
thank you, yeah. At some point. And during that time, from 2008 to 2013, whilst Greg Combey was in his ministership, I don't know if that's a word, but...
It is now.
Pat Conroy, who is a name that you'll all be aware of, who is the current Minister for Defence Industry, from 2008 to 2013, he was the Principal Policy Advisor and the Deputy Chief of Staff to Greg Combey. And so he worked developing the policies in defence, in defence material, in defence industry and innovation. So after he left office, this is Greg, back to Greg Combey, after he left office, in 2015, and I'm not sure when this role finished, but he was an economic consultant for AGL and Santos, which are two of the biggest players in coal seam gas, and also had written articles for things like the Financial Review, lobbying in favour of coal seam gas exploration. And of course, coming back to the Future Fund, Santos and is definitely one of those ones that the Future Fund is investing in.
Right.
In 2016, Greg Combey was appointed in a new role, I think it was the first of these roles, of the Defence Industry Advocate for the Victorian Government.
Yes, that's after, what year was that you say?
2016, after the Defence White Paper.
Yeah, yeah, that's when they started bringing in the whole thing about becoming one of the top 10 arms dealers and all the rest of it, and they wanted to push. So I think David Johnson, his name was, became the federal defence industry advocate. Greg Combey was in Victoria.
Yeah.
Even though he's based in Newcastle in New South Wales. I mean, he was Victoria because he was here while he was ACTU, but he's New South Welshman, you know, he went to school at Rudy Hill. And his seat was in, what's it called, Charlton, just out of Newcastle. But every state had a defence advocate. So every time there was an international arms trade fair, not only was there an Australian defence industry advocate, but there were state defence industry advocates fighting each other for the right to build something in New South Wales as opposed to the ACT, as opposed to whatever.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. And also kind of like spruiking at these defence conferences and at the defence industry shows and towards spruiking Victoria's defence capability.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see where that is now, where Albert Systems, as of, I think, what it was at 2021 or 2022, Victorian government has now partnered with Albert Systems on the Human Machine Teaming Centre of Excellence.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And so one thing that I was thinking about with, I mean, sorry, and just a couple, there's Mary Reimst, Nicola Wakefield Evans and James Craig, who are three other people on the board of Guardians, all have held positions of like long-term positions, high-up positions for the Macquarie Group and the Macquarie Group subsidiaries, including as the chair of the Macquarie Group Foundation, when we're talking about Mary Reimst and Nicola Wakefield and James Craig. But also what we have to mention here is that Macquarie Group currently has about $1.7 million worth of shares in Albert Systems.
Ah, so they're all in it together.
They're all in it together. And one more point on this, because I think we want to talk about what happened this morning at SEC plating.
Yeah.
But one more thing, you know, when we're thinking about this defence firm, this future fund in these increases, you've got to think about what is the incentive of a government sovereign investment firm investing in companies in order to get a better return, how much does that incentivize that same government to award contracts to the very companies that they're invested in, which are going to be boosting their share prices?
Well, of course it would.
Yeah.
You've got a problem with capitalism.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, of course it is.
But that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We're investing in Albert. If I'm investing in... I'll never invest.
Oh, no, but the government aren't investing in Albert. It's Hanwha, remember, James?
Oh, that's right. Oh. Yeah, that's right. It's this is like we spoke about the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, and when we talk about, you always find the same names. You look at an issue, you say, find the same names, whether it's those pricks in the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation or these arseholes running defence industries in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It is always the same names. They're in this role, they're in that role, they're in the other role.
Yeah.
They are the planet fuckers, they are the people fuckers. I mean, we talk about Pat Conroy. First time I ever come across Pat Conroy, he was, I can't even remember what his role was, but he worked for the forestry division of the CFMEU.
Mm.
He was a forest fucker. Basically, I think that was late 90s, might have been early 2000s, I can't remember. But that's when I first come across him. It's one of the benefits of getting so old, you remember this shit. But they are always the same people. But anyway, this morning.
This morning there was a picket at SEC Plating in Lakemba. Organised by, not organised, but attended by concerned community groups about SEC Plating's complicity in genocide. There's been ongoing pickets there. They've shut down work in prior occasions. But this morning, the group that went down to SEC Plating this morning were met with insane police brutality straight off the bat. There were people who were brutalized, beaten. I think there were 4 or 5 arrests.
Yeah.
There's someone who's currently in hospital.
We can't actually. We can't mention names.
Yeah.
They are there, and you will hear it. You will hear it over the next couple of days. But we've been asked by the people involved not to mention names, and we were hoping to get some of the people involved on the show tonight. But the coppers have their phones.
Mm.
And one person is actually, as Mercedes just said, still in hospital.
Yeah.
After a brutal belting that might leave her partly blind.
So it's just absolutely horrific. They were given a move on order with no legal basis whatsoever, and the cops pretty much just came straight out and said it. And Jake, I think you, why they were at SEC Plating, we've only got a couple of minutes left before.
Yeah. Well, they were providing plating services to weapons manufacturers.
Yeah.
And particularly to the weapons manufacturers in New South Wales, they're in Belmore, making the components. And just for anyone who wants to know, they are in Belmore. I think they're on Canterbury Road, but anyway, you can look it up, SEC Plating, making components for the F-35s.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Australian, every F-35 being used in the skies over Gaza and Syria and Lebanon have Australian-made and Sydney and Melbourne-made parts. SEC are a part of that. But I don't know if it's good news, but you can't help the irony. They say this is capitalism at its most raw. Last week, let me just bring it up here, in a beautiful little website called Insolvency News, it was noted that SEC Plating has received a notice of appointment of creditors. So even though they are profiting from genocide, the fuckers are still going broke, and good luck to all of them, and I hope it happens to all of them.
That's right. Now, the good folks at Radio MMT are in the station waiting. This is NASA again telling you why you should get to Canberra. We'll catch you next week on a Friday rave.